You're listening to Make It Possible Ukraine Volunteer Heroes Stories, the podcast about volunteers who have made a difference in Ukraine. Together, we can make it possible for people in Ukraine. Welcome to today's episode of our Volunteer Hero Stories. I'm excited to introduce Hugo from Brazil, someone who has traveled from far, far away to make a difference. Hugo was part of our program last summer, returned during the winter, and now is in Ukraine for a third time to volunteer with our summer camp. Hugo has been an essential part of our organization, contributed significantly to planning and creating lasting bonds with the children that we help. We're thrilled to have him back and eager to hear about his experience. Welcome, Hugo.
Nice to be here. Feel very welcome, Kat.
How are you today?
Doing good. A bit hot, more than expected, but all good.
So we're
in
Lviv now. It's mid of July and it's really hot. So Hugo just comparing now the weather to Brazil, and he's kind of wanted to escape hot, you know, heat of Brazil for this moment. But it's all right. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's all good. All good.
Awesome. Hugo, so you're traveling from so far away. You don't meet that many people from Brazil. We meet some, but not that many. Actually, surprise, we meet like quite a few.
Really? Mm-hmm. So far, since I've been here, like even my third time, I haven't seen nobody speaking Portuguese, okay. And I haven't seen any Brazilian here.
Yeah, I met like two or three people, okay. Which was for me a surprise because it's quite far. But I really want to know, like, how did you decide to come to Ukraine? Do you have any connection to Ukraine? How is that story? How is that did that happen?
Yeah, so no, I don't have any connection to Ukraine at all. Didn't have before. I was here with my father on 2018, and I liked the country from the first time I was here. And I was always following the war news, military news. This is an area of interest for me. It always was since I was a kid. So I'm always following every conflict, like following very detail. So since the war started, I was trying to find a way to help in any way I could. And in the beginning, a lot of Brazilians people, they were coming here, actually, like the first months of the war. But maybe most of them just came because it was popular, like a popular subject, and people wanted to say that they were here and put stuff here. So they were like going to Kyiv and doing all those Molotov cocktails, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, no, I'm not going to that, because it's not worth, and people are just going to show off. So I'm gonna wait a bit and see how can I really help. And then I was searching ways that I could help. I saw some online forums like Reddit Ukraine, and I was searching some organization that would be closer to Poland, because a lot of us like rebuilding near Kyiv on the north, near Sumy or Kherson or Dnipro. So I was like, no, this is too far east for me. So I'm going to see something close to Poland. And then on the beginning, I didn't find. So I was like helping in like, there is some forms that you can donate to people who's coming to Ukraine. So I did some donation with some Brazilian soldiers who came fighting here, like we buy them air tickets or something. And then like some crypto donations that also Ukraine was raising to buy food, especially buying tickets, like bus tickets, train tickets to people from the east to come to the west. So I was helping out that. And then I finally found Make It Possible Ukraine. And so I spoke to Kat.
Thank you so much for everything you've done. Yeah. It means so much to us. Were you afraid or not afraid to come for a first time to Ukraine?
Not so much afraid, because in Brazil, as already is, it's like a dangerous country. So we have about 50,000 homicides per year. I think this is almost a war zone environment. So Brazil is a pretty dangerous country by itself, so we have to find ways to be safe there. So I was not afraid, because like I understand like basic statistics, like if I was in the west wasn't being hit that much, and the chances of getting hit by a missile, all that, etc. So not really afraid. But anyway, the first day I got here, you remember, right? So yes. The first day I got here was the worst bombing that happened in Lviv, besides the military bombing that happened 1 year before. So the biggest civilian bombing. So yeah, after that, I got afraid for sure.
And I just remember our interview and you asked me something about safety. And I was like, it's totally fine. You have nothing to worry about in Lviv. So now I don't answer it that way. I answer that anything can happen anytime. Because I remember I was like specifically telling you it's all right. And then the first day you got here was like the worst bombing that hit. Like it was really, really scary day. But yeah, maybe it's just an illusion that Lviv is safer or not. It is safer. It's definitely less chances of anything happen, but there is still a risk. So something that everybody should consider. But
I think if you follow the Telegram channels and if you, because now they have all these monitoring systems, you know exactly what is hitting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you follow that and if you go to the shelter, if it's really happening attack.
Totally.
The chances of you getting is just super, super.
Have lots of notifications.
Yeah, super low.
If something is really will be happening, that majority of people will know. Yeah. So make sure you maybe follow like, you know, local people. If they go somewhere, maybe go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Because they don't do it as often because usually we feel pretty safe here.
Yeah.
Well, so thank you. We're glad to have you here. So you were here during the summer and you spent time. Actually, Hugo created like a very close bonds with kids from the eastern Ukraine because at that moment we were going to shelters where kids actually live and we would do like a program there. It was really small, but we were very special in some way because we spent so much time with those kids and actually created a really good bond. It's harder to do it now with a bigger group. But again, that was a different time. That was just the war just started and those kids really needed help. So tell me more about like your experiences, like getting to know the kids and like how did you become friends with them? Because I know even now, like they talk to Hugo all the time. And for them, Hugo is like the coolest person in the world. So they all look up to Hugo. So how do you create a bond like that?
So as you were saying, like last year was like maybe just three or four of us, like volunteers, me, Ashley, Dan, Simon, a bit towards middle in the end. So we got to know them very well. We were going there all the time. And I don't know, maybe because we're Brazilian, we are like, I'm considered a shy Brazilian, but we are very communicative as it is. So I was like going to each kid and like, oh, what's your hobby? You like to play this and play that. So, okay, let's play together. One of the kids, we were playing chess. The other, we were playing mobile games. The other, we were talking about soccer. So like trying to create a better bond. And again, it was a small group of kids, maybe something like 10. And so we got to know them. I got to know them very well, got to be close to them. And this was very good and very, very special. So I think a lot of this is maybe due because, that's just how we are in Brazil. We're very open and communicative people.
So that was awesome. And thank you for all your help last summer. But then you came back during winter. How did that happen?
Yeah, so the winter, we were talking about doing some activities. It started in December. I couldn't come here in December. But then I came in February.
It was January.
Yeah, January. Sorry. Yeah, second week of January. And we planned a ski trip, which turned out to be very good, like better than expected. We went with around 8 or 9 kids, around 3 or 4 volunteers, and it was super amazing, like way better than expected. Because when you're traveling a big group, you should expect something to go wrong. Somebody might get hurt, something might broke here or there, but everything was like perfect. So the place we were was very good. We got good food, everybody had a lot of fun. So it was really, really better than expected. And some of the kids was their first time skiing. It was pretty good. I look forward to do it again next winter. Maybe we stay a bit longer, like if Kat has enough patience to be with me and all those kids for too long. So maybe we stay 5-6 days together. So
that sounds like a great idea. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to doing
it
again.
Loved it. They're so looking forward to volunteers coming, especially Hugo's. They're like, when I say Hugo is coming, they're like, yes, yes, we can't wait. I mean, they kind of got used to it that you're coming back every time. They're like, this is like for them a normalcy, but which is good. Like we create some structure for kids. Every 6 months, they see the same people and they have like a positive experience. That's good. That's really awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's really, really great things. So I also wanted to ask you, like, did you notice in Ukraine? How different it is to other countries, or like how people, how, like any emotions you and you see right now in Ukraine? Like maybe it's a good emotions, or like a good things, or a bad things. Just something that you notice that is different from something you experienced before.
Yeah. So I think it's. People are very brave, the way they are conducting themselves here. They are super, super brave. I mean, I'm in the West, so people come here. Usually, this is a hospital and treatment city, so people's like, there's a lot of hurt soldiers around the city, and they come here to rest a bit more. So I think the war sentiment is pretty much stronger in the East. But I think people are like so strong and so... persevering a lot. So this is the reason why I chose here, because it's like fierce and strong people. And what I think about the difference to other countries is because I think this is a country that will grow a lot. I have all the opportunities to have a young population. It has a lot of will. So I think it's a country that will, once all this is over, it will thrive and will be like one of the symbols of like coming through and another era. So pretty... I think the future might look very bright for Ukraine if they may able to figure out this war fast and things turns out a bit faster. But so I think it's like very, very fierce people that want a better life and want to do better. So, I think it's a pretty positive.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we all in Ukraine also believe in a brighter future. And I'm sure people will do everything they can to get that brighter future. And because of people like you, like, for example, our kids, they see a good examples and they see that it's achievable for them to get whatever they want in life. So thank you so much for being here to show that example to our kids. So I only have like a last questions for you. Do you think it's worth coming to Ukraine to volunteer?
Yeah, so this is something that is also often discussed also in the online groups. I'm still following that a lot. And the answer, I would say, depends on what you're doing, because there is a lot of main power here. So in the beginning, it was like a lot of rebuilding and a lot of like doing fences for the trenchers and doing helping to cook food. So, but there is a lot of main power. If you want to come and volunteer, I think you should do your research first, find an organization, see if they really need volunteers, because sometimes they don't need, and see if it's worth like your time, your efforts. Otherwise, I think it's maybe more efficient if you just donate somehow, because I saw before some people just come into Ukraine, see what they could do to help, wander around, like travel, but like no focus, didn't talk to a organization before, but like trying. And it was just, I mean, in a way it's good because you're spending money here anyway, so you're helping the country or the economy anyway. But if you really want to help, find an organization that you like and check, okay, if they want volunteers, if your skills can be used for their own good, then okay. If not, maybe just find one you like and just donate to them. Just try to help them by donating. And yes, and the currency is super depreciated, so everything counts. Like every $50, $100, $150, all that counts. So I think the answer is maybe. Like if first you need to really find your organization and then you see if your skills can be used.
Thank you, Hugo. That's a very good advice. And I do agree with you. I think it really depends on whatever you do in life, if you're ready to help, if you want to help, and if you find a place to help. So all of these things are great. So I would like to thank you for being here for almost It's your third time volunteering with us. It's your fourth time in Ukraine. And it's such a big deal for us because you might notice that, but only like by hearing that there is a person from Brazil volunteering in Ukraine, it's a life changing for us. It's believe. Because like nowadays, we don't have that many good news. It's all like really bad news for a very long time. So it's really hard, to be honest. It's really hard to look forward to something. Regular Ukrainian can make any plans for life. We can do anything like with any like basic planning, like nothing pretty much until the war over. And it's very uncertain if it's going to be tomorrow, it's going to be a years. So by seeing people like you, by talking to you, by seeing them coming to teach, help our kids, it gives us a hope for a better future and that the world cares. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Kat, for taking me in the first time. And yes, I'll be coming here regularly because
awesome.
I also don't think it's very fair to the kids if you create a bond and then you just disappear. I mean, and yeah, so since my first time here, I was like planning to that be like a long term thing. So I'll be coming here as long as you guys want me and take me, I'll be coming.
And I feel the same way. I'll do that as long as they need us to do this. So thank you so much. Let's do something great together more and more often. Thank you so much, Hugo.
Yes. Thank you, Kat.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope you enjoyed our amazing volunteer story as much as I did. I truly hope it inspires you to volunteer in Ukraine. We need as much help as we can get, and every effort counts. Check out our Instagram, Make It Possible Ukraine, and our website, makeitpossibleua.org, for information on our current and future programs. If you can, please support our future initiatives financially by donating on our website. Your contribution will help us continue to bring smiles to more kids in Ukraine. Thank you so much and see you in the next episode.